That's Just William and Rishmal tomorrow morning at 11:30.
I'm Claudia Hammond, and I'd love to know if there's someone who's made a real difference to your mental health. If so, there's still time to enter the All in the Mind Awards 2023. Maybe there's a friend or a boss who's changed everything for you, or a professional like a therapist or doctor or nurse, or maybe you attended some kind of mental health project. I'd love to hear your story, and I'm sure they'd love to know the difference they made. To enter, go to the All in the Mind page of the Radio 4 website. The terms and conditions and the privacy notice are there too. You have until midnight on the 31st of January to enter. Can't wait to read what you have to say.
Speaking of awards, over 1,000 aspiring comedians entered the BBC New Comedy Awards this year. 100 performed in showcases, 30 got through to the regional heats, and just 6 made the final. So, here they are, the BBC New Comedy Award finalists of 2022.
Grand final of the BBC New Comedy Awards 2022. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm excited. Welcome to St David's Hall. We're here in Cardiff. It's nice, isn't it, Cardiff? What an amazing city. It's steeped in history and culture and pubs. So many pubs. So many pubs. Woo indeed. There are a lot of pubs. Even Gareth Bale's got a pub, I'm told. Yes, it's exciting. Now, we have got some amazing comedians for you this evening, one of which could be the future of British comedy. I mean, who knows? In a year or two from now, this act could be starring in their own BBC comedy show, or filling rooms as big as this, or pulling pints for Gareth Bale. We just, at this stage, we don't know. We're going to meet the judges now. I was a judge in the London heat, so I do not envy them this task because it was very, very tough. So put your hands together and let's meet Nabil Abdul Rashid, Rosie Jones, and our head judge, Fern Brady. Nabil, you are no stranger to talent shows. So, what tips, what last minute tips can you give our contestants tonight?
Yeah, just come out here, have fun, enjoy the show, don't worry about the outcome. I mean, I've done these, I've never won one, but I'm here, and you know what? It makes me feel good to know that most of our contestants today won't be winning either.
That's the spirit, that's the spirit. Thank you so much. Rosie, what are you looking for tonight?
I really want to see the future of comedy right here. But if I'm honest, I don't want them to be too funny because they can't take my work.
We're all thinking it. We're all thinking it. So, Fern, you've been the head judge. What do you think? What's the standard been like, generally?
It's been so high that I've started doing lots of new material nights again because I'm so worried about how good they are.
Oh,
They're
wow.
all embarrassingly better than me.
Right.
But at this point, all they need to do is relax because they're so good. They've made it to the final. I'm just excited for the audience to watch them.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. Now, are you ready to see the acts that we've got for you tonight? It's not easy going first, so I want you to give him a nice, warm welcome. He was the winner of the Northern Irish Heat. Let's hear it for Robbie McShane.
Thanks very much. Oh, that's very nice of you. Thanks very much for that. I've been going to a lot of funerals recently. I'm not just turning up to them, you know. My family are dying. And I'm just getting used to some of the cliches. People say they had funerals to make you feel better, you know. People always tell me the afterlife is like this party that's meant to make you feel better about your grandfather corpse in it. I was out at my grandfather's funeral. This woman came up to me, she said, "Here." "He's probably up there already, taking a drink and dancing with a woman." And I have to say, "Sorry, Sharon, if I could speak to you outside there." Don't know if you can see in the front row, that's my grandmother dressed in black, weeping. If you could maybe cool it with the whole, he's up there taking drinks, slamming ass. Maybe let them get him in the dirt before you start painting him as Hugh Hefner. I would like to see my grandparents again if there is an afterlife, but come on. Depends which version of them you're getting. Is it going to be the last version again, where it's just me sitting in a 500-degree living room with them? Fire roaring at 12 noon, watching Poirot all day. While they go, how's the A-levels, even though I'm 26? Or will it be like cool, younger granddad, you know, where he goes, well, hey, there's a fiver, don't tell your mother. Dig, 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 dig. I never got over the troubles. It was old, but it was beautiful. I take him back, you know? He was interesting. I don't want to have to meet Rad Granda, who's already a decade into heaven slamming broads, you know? One on each arm, pretending he doesn't recognize my grandmother when she gets there. Hey, say your name was again. Deirdre. Oh, geez, I can't remember. Dementia still exists up here, actually. I'll end on a more positive joke, because it can be grim talking about, you know, funerals and Poirot and stuff. So, end on a more positive topic. I would like to re-stigmatise mental health. Here's the thing. Mental health used to be very cool when there was a stigma around it, and now footballers have it, which, you know, it's not for them, is it? No. Mental health issues. That's not the right type of applause. Right? Mental health issues, as I'm sure you can tell from listening to me, are for people like me to give me an edge in life, right? That was the trade. They get £1 million a match, I get a general feeling of the colour grey, okay? So yes, I want to re-stigmatise it, particularly as well because the public pretend that they care about these issues, but they only care when it's sensational. It took Britney Spears shaving her mind bald before people went, something seems wrong with that wee girl. We're gonna have to, I wonder if she's all right. Shouldn't have to go that far. You know, we ignore some cries for help that are more subtle, even among celebrities. Like Tom Jones, for example, your hometown guy, Tom Jones with, yes, exactly, with his mental health. Are you aware of Tom Jones's mental health issues? Nobody in Wales, this is exactly proving my point. Tom Jones crying out for help for years. This is an actual thing Tom Jones has said that I think very clearly indicates his mental health issues. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I want to die. No. So, these have been very nice. I've been Robbie McShane. Enjoy your evening. Cheers.
One more time, let's hear it for Robbie McShane. Next up is the winner of the Exeter Heat. It's Omar Badaway.
Hello, how are we doing? Are we okay? Yes, my name is Omar. I was born in Egypt, and then my family moved to Cambridge, which is why I sound like this, and why I give off this smart, casual Rishi Sunak vibe. Could only apologize. The weirdest thing I've ever been called, though, was at a football match. Someone called me a posh terrorist. What does that even mean? That instead of bomb vests, I wear a suicide gilet? I don't know. Go by the name Jihadi Giles? I don't know. Post videos on Facebook of me beheading pheasants? We have more in common than we think, though. You know, like, I don't know if it's well known that Muslims believe in Jesus. Like, we believe in Jesus so much so that my mum's surname is Isa, which is the Arabic word for Jesus. But what it also means is, I have a cousin called Muhammad Jesus. Which is a lot of pressure on the kid. His parents named him that so he'd have double the blessings and grow up to be like a lawyer or an engineer. Mohammed Jesus is a paddleboard instructor in Bradford. His parents are so disappointed in him. But if you think about it, the most Mohammed Jesus thing you can do is teach Muslims in Bradford to basically walk on water. I mean, he's kind of fulfilled the prophecy there. I don't know how he's done it. Cheers. Thanks. I'll let him know.
Nice, dude. Yeah.
Trying to get more in touch with my culture. Like, I learned to speak Arabic from my mum. She was the only person I spoke it to, which was fine until I got pickpocketed in North London. I felt the phone leave my pocket and saw a guy running away. So I chased him and I grabbed him. And for some reason, in Arabic, he goes to me, "Get off, I don't have anything." And I was pissed off. I wanted to threaten him in Arabic and to give him the phone back. But I realized I didn't know intimidate a thief Arabic. I only knew conservative mother Arabic. So instead of coming up with like a cool, sweary sentence, I unironically said, "Give it back, you naughty, naughty boy." "Hand it over or you'll fail your exams," honestly. I'm pretty sure if he'd pulled out a knife and had gone, "Hold it properly, table manners." Guys, I've been over my bad, it's my time. Thanks so much, cheers.
Finalist absolutely smashed it in Deptford. Give it up for Dee Alum, everyone.
Hello. Hi. My name is Dee. I am transgender, full time. Thank you. I went to an all boys school, or so they thought. 450 years of the school only accepting boys. I am, to my knowledge, the first person to go to the school to come out as trans. So I am to my school what a fancy wooden horse was to the city of Troy. We got him, ladies. But when you get that many boys in one place, like all the boys I went to school with, to them, everything was gay. Apart from things that were actually quite gay. So like a big pile of sweaty men in tiny shorts, that's just rugby. But studying geography beyond GCSE. It's been a big year for me, been a big year in lots of ways. I came out as transgender and also bisexual, which makes me a little bit of a lesbian. Would have got good odds on that at my birth. Jesus! Congratulations, it's a beautiful baby, lesbian with a penis, how progressive! But for those of you keeping track, that is L, B, and also T. Only one more to go. I obviously had to come out in all different areas of my life. You know, I had to come out at work, which meant coming out to the HR lady. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with people like that. But my HR lady, she was actually so sincere that she was really quite aggressive. She was just like, "Wow! Thank you for sharing that with me. Let's make an action plan." And she had questions. And I'm used to like a certain set of questions, but her questions were insane. So like, for instance, I mentioned that my girlfriend had been really supportive through this early part of my transition. And upon hearing this, something inside her brain just switched. And she was like, "Oh, a girlfriend? What? What's her deal?" So I just said, I don't know, she loves me. And she said, oh, how peculiar. So, I've been Dee Allum, you've been lovely. Thank you very much.
Dee Allum. Now, I want you to keep the love going for our next act who absolutely stormed it in Middlesbrough. It's Dan Tiernan.
Yeah, baby, this is good, isn't it? I'm 26, I still live at home. I live there with my mum and her partner, Nick. Hi, yeah. Not a fan of this guy. I hate this man. He's got a daughter, right? He says his daughter's proof he's a feminist because he named her Emmeline after Emmeline Pankhurst, leader of the suffragette movement. Her mum wanted to call her something different, but Nick wouldn't let her. Wow. Yes! Nick's daughter's the same age as me. That's annoying. We're always getting compared to each other. Like, we're just good at different things, you know? She's good at passing exams and earning money, and I'm good at making this noise. What's the point in owning a house if you can't do this in it? I'm a disappointment. I don't do comedy full time, and my day job, I work in a primary school. I don't know how that's allowed. In the primary school, the job I do, I'm a lunchtime supervisor. I'm a dinner lady. I'm 26! 26! That's like 11 in dinner lady years. For this job, I worked at Subway. So it was a big step for me, because supervising a child, very different to supervising a sandwich. It is! Like, if you mess a child up, you can't just hide it and eat it on your break. Ofsted don't like it when you do that. Before I go, this is a bit of a weird one. It's my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. He's not in. Just nice to pretend he supports me, innit? He wasn't at my birth. He's not crossing a border to see me, is he? It is his birthday, though, genuinely, and he's very difficult to buy for. I asked him what he wanted, and he was like, oh, damn, mate, don't worry about it. I don't know, just get me something I wouldn't choose myself. So I got him a framed picture of my mum. On her wedding day with Nick. Yous have been so nice. I've been Dan Tiernan. Look out for yourself.
Dan Tiernan. Next up, we have the winner of the Kilmarnock Heat. Let's hear it for Marilaine Robertson.
Thank you very much. Hello. My name's Marilyn and I am from Shetland, if you don't know what Shetland is, because you're not those two people there, Shetland is a tiny Scottish island way, way up in the North Sea. So it's very exciting to be here. Because if I was in a building like this in Shetland, I would know every face in the room. Because we're all birthed from the same woman. Her name is Mam. So I was recently diagnosed with ADHD. That's attention deaf. Oh my God, I love this jumper. But I just need to ask, did you knit this from the wool that you sheared from the sheep that you raised as a lamb? Because that's what I did. I grew up on a farm with sheep and I loved having sheep because having sheep is like having friends that you can eat. But then I turned 18 and I left Shetland to move to Edinburgh to drink study. And I'm an easily led individual that when I'm invited to something new, I have to weigh up the pros and cons of if it's dangerous. Like my friend Amy will phone and say, hey, do you want to come out drinking? And I have to think, pro, I'll get a good story out of it. Con, the first time I tell it, will be to a police officer. Or bigger risk situations, Amy will phone and say, hey, can you help me kill a man? And I'll think, pro, I get to kill a man. So I moved to Edinburgh when I was 18. And when I moved, Mum and Dad were so worried about me that they packed my suitcase. Full of meat, I'll explain. See, in Shetland we have a delicacy called roasted mutton, and we make it ourselves. What happens is we get all the lambs into the shed at killing time, and then we put them to sleep. And then we remove their legs or arms. It depends how you look at it. Then we bury this meat in salt for a few days, remove it, and the salt is recycled for cooking and summoning demons. And this meat is delicious. I was so excited to go to university with this sack of salty legs. And I got to the city and I was so excited to be in Edinburgh, I just threw my suitcase, the meat still inside, into the airing cupboard with the rest of the luggage. And I got on with what was actually important, of going to university, and I struggled. I really struggled. I struggled because I'd sit down at my desk every day and try, but I'd just be distracted by things, like the moths. Like, at first we had a couple of moths in the flat, then they must have brought their friends, because then there were dozens. And then hundreds of moths in our flat, and I just sit and name them all day. Like, it's amazing I didn't know I had ADHD at the time. But I'm a lot better now because I've been prescribed lisdexamfetamine, which is literally speed. Speed slows me down. Like, the biggest clue I had ADHD should have been years ago on a night out at a rave of my pals on Lines of Speed. And they were like, tonight is amazing, tonight is incredible. And I was like, tonight is 4 months until my tax return is due. Like, with lisdexamfetamine, I can now focus on things. I can remember things, like the meat in the cupboard. I forgot about it for the entire year of uni. It was at the end of term, my flatmate said, where's our suitcases? And I said, I know where they are. They're in the airing cupboard. And we walked down the hallway to this ever-increasing presence of moths. And I went to open the door, and I don't know if you've ever opened the door to an ancient Egyptian tomb. And I couldn't believe I forgot about that meat. That sheep was my friend. Beth. Oh my God, I forgot about my friend Amy. We still haven't even buried the body. I have to go and take care of something. I've been Maddie Elaine, and you are now all implicit. Thank you.
Keep it going for Mary Elaine Robertson. Now our sixth finalist, absolutely smashed it in Coventry. Put your hands together for Joshua Bethania.
Hi. My name is Joshua. You might recognize my accent from your bank's customer support. People who don't see color, I am brown. You know, being brown in the UK, people make assumptions of where you're from, so I should clarify, I'm from India. And none of those shitholes, like Birmingham or Leicester. I've been in the country a few years. You know, I live in London, and I've met a lot of interesting people. I met a racist the other day, which is pretty cool. Had very amateur racism, though, you know, where he goes, immigrants who come into this country need to be more English. Yeah. which, as we all know, is subtext for, you know, be more white, right? Like, normally, you know, I would have gotten offended, stood up for myself, you know, because mama didn't raise no little bitch. But this year I've been practicing empathy, and I thought to myself, you know, maybe all of this aggression is coming from some place of logical thinking, right? Because can you imagine if someone came into your country, forced their culture, refused to learn the language, started stealing your things, got into your political structure, introduced racism, caused a communal divide that will last for decades and decades, and when they left, they took those stolen things and put them on display in a museum for you to come and see. That would be insane, wouldn't it? For those who went to an English school, that's a joke on colonialism. But I am trying to be English, you know. I thought a good place to start would be trying to get into football. That's one way to be an English lad, right? Give me a cheer if you're a football fan. Give me a cheer if you don't give two shits about football. Shit. So for the sake of the joke, give me a cheer if you're a football fan. Oh, wow, so many football fans. I guess a question to the English fans at least. The women brought football home, and we've got the Men's World Cup coming up. What do you all think? Is it going to stay home or will it be sent back like a non-white refugee? But to explain it to the few non-football fans here, the state of English football, the chances of England winning is the same as that of you finding a white Uber driver. like it's happened before. It'll probably happen again. But it's surely not happening right now. You guys have been lovely. My name is Joshua. Thank you.
Six of our acts. So, to announce the winner of the BBC New Comedy Award 2022, Fern Brady, everyone. Yes. I don't know who it is. I'm very excited. Do you know who it is?
I do know who it is. Well, firstly, I didn't feel too bad about who we put through as the winner because everyone in the final is going to go on and have an amazing career in comedy. They were all fantastic. Well done. Yous were a great audience. But with that, the winner of tonight's BBC New Comedy Awards is Dan Tiernan.
Well done, mate. Yeah! Congratulations to our winner, but also give it up for all our finalists you saw tonight. That's all we've got for you tonight. Thanks so much for being with such a wonderful audience, and good night!